Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. I know that the popular thing to do today is to erase history, to discredit history. But history tells us where we're headed. History, if we don't know it, we will repeat it. And because we don't know it, we are repeating it, this time with the same exact people that caused misery and death in the 1970s. Why should you know about the date, January 24th, 1975? And what happened in 1975? How could that possibly affect you? Oh, wait until you hear an amazing, amazing story. We tell it in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I don't know how you're surviving. I really don't. Especially if you own a small business, it is really, really hard. Or if you've lost your job, 32% of Americans who are homeowners failed to meet their mortgage payment this month. A third of us. I don't know how this turns around. We've got to get back to work. But if you have a mortgage and you are looking to save money, please make a 10-minute phone call to American Financing. We just refinanced our house, and we have it now down to 3.5%, and that saved hundreds of dollars every single month. I highly recommend that you do everything you can to get your financial house in order, because troubled times are not only here, they're coming. And if you have high interest credit cards, consolidate them, get them off your plate. Don't reset your loan. Just get these things off of your plate right now. AmericanFinancing.net. They can help you out in 10 minutes on a phone call. They can tell you how much they can save you. No high pressure, no strings attached. They'll tell you they can help you or not. Call 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
There is a fascinating story that I read on townhall.com earlier this week. The author was Joe Connor, and the headline was BLM's intentions sound all too familiar. That is so true. We called Joe, wanted to get him on to tell the story. He's with us now. You can follow him on Twitter at Joseph F. Connor and wewinamerica.com. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Tell me what happened on January 24th, 1975.
My mom was going to have our party. I was turning 9. I turned 9 on January 20th. My brother turned 11 on the 13th. We were going to be having a birthday party for us that evening. Was a Friday. My father was at work. He worked for the Morgan Bank. He had lunch at Francis Tavern, which is where George Washington bade farewell to his officers after the Revolutionary War, where Alexander Hamilton and the Sons of Liberty met, and where a bunch of New York Wall Street guys met and had lunch. Bomber walked a package in, set it behind the table where my father and his clients had just moved. They didn't like their original table, and they moved tables to be in a bit of a better spot. Within a few minutes, the package was pushed to the side and detonated. It injured 60 people and killed 4, including my dad. He was 33 years old, Frank Connor. He was an American success story. Mother was an Irish immigrant who worked in the bank and got him the job after high school. And his father was an elevator operator from England. And the FALN was a Puerto Rican terrorist group, left a message saying that this was to hit reactionary corporate executives, which is a very Marxist phrase. And they appointed themselves as judge, jury, and executioner, really profiling the type of person they wanted to murder in a place where liberty was born in this country.
So Joe,
that's what happened
they did not target. Okay, hang on just a second. They did not target your dad specifically. They were just after big fat capitalists, right?
That was there. Yeah, that's what they wrote. You know, reactionary corporate executives. So, you know, the term reactionary raises flags immediately because you know that that means that's a Marxist type term. And you know, my dad was anything but. He was 33 years old. He was a working class guy from Manhattan, not far from where some of these guys lived. He went to CCNY after CCNY, which is City College of New York, after high school. And years later, the CCNY erected a student center called the Morales Shakur Center. William Morales was the bomber who built the bomb that murdered my father and who's now in Cuba. And Asanta Shakur is Joanne Chesimard, who murdered Werner Forster on the Jersey Turnpike. So we got them to shut that place down. But this is the kind of stuff that has gone on since his murder, let alone the clemencies from the Clintons and Obama.
So I want to talk to you about that. So what happened after the bomb went off and the police started to investigate? Who was responsible for it, and what happened to those people?
Well, the FALN claimed responsibility in a communique that was left right around the block. I actually have a picture of Oscar Lopez, who was given clemency twice and finally left prison when Obama released him in 2017. And I have a picture of him.
Okay, don't get ahead of yourself. Okay. Hang on, Joe. Don't get ahead of yourself. Most people don't even know what FALN is.
Yeah.
Tell me what the FALN is.
Yep. Okay. The FALN was the Armed Forces for National Liberation, the acronym in Spanish for this Puerto Rican Marxist group who was claiming that they wanted independence for Puerto Rican people and independence for the United States. Obviously, in plebiscites on the island, only 5 or 6% ever vote for independence. So they had no standing. They were a Cuban-based, Cuban-financed, trained terrorist group. They were arrested in Chicago in the early 80s. They were sentenced to appropriately long prison terms of between 55 and 70 years. At sentencing, they threatened to kill the judge. Judge McMillan actually carried 2 six-shooters under his robe because these guys are diabolical. I'm not kidding.
I love that.
It's great. One of them said, "If we were, you know, we're George Washington." To that he replied, "Well, yes, of course. And if the British had caught George Washington, they'd have hanged him." And that's what the judge wanted to do. But you know, they were never specifically charged with the Francis bombing, but they were put away for, you know, 70 years in Chicago. And if you remember the world in the early 80s, there was not a lot of money to bring them back to New York to face similar charges. There was no death penalty for them anyway. So they were basically sent away for life until 1999, when Hillary Clinton was running for senator from New York. Bill Clinton and Eric Holder put together a plan and offered them clemency, which they outright refused. And for 30 days were given the opportunity to talk to each other until on September 10th, 1999, they accepted the clemency, all except one, and walked out of prison. Oscar Lopez was the one
who
denied it. Yep.
Go ahead. Didn't Bill Clinton let one of them out on his last day in office?
Obama let Lopez out on his last day in office. Clinton let
the guy who rejected Clint, early clemency.
Yeah. Clinton did release Susan Rosenberg on his last day in office, and she is now
How is she? So what was her role earlier?
Sure.
She was
a member of a group called The Family. It gets a little complicated, but there were, if you throw yourself back 40 years, and there were tons of these little groups, and they were all connected. You had the Weather Underground, you had The Family, you had the May 19th Communist Organization, you had the FALN, you had the BLA, you had the all these different groups. Well, The Family pulled an armored car robbery in Nanuet, New York, and they killed two cops and security guards, three. Susan Rosenberg drove the getaway car for these terrorists who killed these cops. She was subsequently caught in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, with explosives. She was sent to prison, and she was released in Bill Clinton's last days in office. But before she went to prison, before the armored car robberies, she broke out William Morales and Joanne Chesimard as part of the family. That was the name of her terrorist group. She busted them out of prison. Morales was at Bellevue Hospital prison in New York. He was the bomb maker for the FALN. He was in the prison in the hospital because he had blown himself up on July 12th, 1978. Would have been my dad's 37th birthday, and he lost 9 of his fingers, part of his face. Yet he escaped from prison with the help of the family. And then Joanne Chesimard, who murdered Orner Forster, was also broken out of prison by Suzanne Rosenberg and the group, the family. They both are now in Cuba.
So she was not only a member of the family, but she was also a member of the May 19 communist organization.
That's right.
And the May 19th communist organization was a radical anti-family lesbian terrorist group, right?
Yeah, and they got their name from, it was Ho Chi Minh's birthday is May 19th, so that's how they picked up their name. So they were absolutely many of the same things that Black Lives Matter is talking about, which is destruction of the family, which is the Marxism, the taking down of the U.S. Mm-hmm. They're the same themes that these terrorist groups back then offered. And you know, my point in the article was that these connections had never gone away. I mean, when I went to that CCNY student center that I talked about, and there's a picture on my website, there's that same fist painted on the walls with a red background. It's the same logo that the Black Lives Matter people use. So, you know, the point is, Black Lives Matter is true. It as a phrase, of course Black Lives Matter, but as an organization, it's not what it pretends to be. Like back then, if you looked at the FALN, it was the Armed Forces or the May 19th Communists. They identified themselves, who they were. Today, they're a bit more sublime, a little bit smarter, a little bit better marketing. So they come up with a slogan that you can't deny without really revealing who they are or what their intentions are. But it's the same thing. So I would say Black Lives count. It really just bothered me when I saw today Bill de Blasio is painting Black Lives Matter, which is an organization that raises money for the Democrat Party and to take down America. And he's using public street, public time. He's the mayor, and he's advocating for an individual organization that raises money. Certainly, that's a problem. And, you know, you talk about impeachable offenses. I mean, my God. So, you know, we really have to wake up and understand who we're dealing with. These euphemisms are, they've kind of taken over. People don't see past it.
All right. So, Joe, when we come back, I want to ask you what the motivation was to let these people out of prison and to pardon them. They were clearly guilty. As you said, one of them wouldn't accept it, because I'm not taking anything from this corrupt country. At least that guy had integrity for a little while. But other than sowing the Marxist seeds, what was the possible motivation for taking these people and letting them out of prison? And we'll get to that here in just a minute. Stand by. All right. Gosh, I don't have. We've had so many technical problems today. I don't have my 20. Who's our sponsor this half hour? Oh, it's Mercury Real Estate. Easy. Mercury Real Estate is actually my company. So I started it about 5 years ago with my brother. He's not actually my brother, but we're like brothers. He is a guy that we grew up together, and We've always looked out for the underdog. We've kind of gone and, you know, I come from an alcoholic family, and Robert's alcoholic family, and we used to have to go get his dad at the bar, and it was, we've been looking for people with integrity for a very long time. So when we both had problems selling houses, and we didn't know, you know, how do you trust a real estate agent? I mean, who do you trust? What makes a good one? What makes a bad one? We decided that after working with about 500 of the best real estate agents in America, according to the Wall Street Journal, we talked to them and we found out there is actually a way to judge them. So we started doing our own homework, and we put a company together that just recommends the best real estate agent in your area to you. It's a free service to you. And I urge you, don't take my word for it. Do your own homework, but interview these people and find out what makes them different and why we can say they're going to sell your house fast, on time, and for the most amount of money. They're going to help you get into the next house at the right price and in the right neighborhood. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. So if you're coming from California and you're looking to sell your house and you're looking for a new place to go, go someplace other than Texas. I mean, unless you know why you're moving, because the Democrats and all the way the people around you voted, that's what wrecked California, then come on to Texas. We'd love to have you. But we'll find the right person no matter where you are. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. 10 seconds, station ID. So Joe Connor is joining us. His father was killed in a terrorist explosion in the 1970s. And I started this with why does something that happened in 1975 matter to you today? How is it affecting you today? We're going to fully explain that here in just a second. But I want to know what your thought is, Joe, on why Clinton let this radical terrorist who had broken people out of prison, who was involved in a radical Marxist, I guess, feminist lesbian group that, you know, was involved in bombings and everything else. Why Clinton would let her out, and why Obama and Clinton would try to let all of the other people out of prison?
Well, I think the FALN releases are much more political and explainable. The Susan Rosenberg clemency at the end of his term, it really comes down to, and I've thought about this a lot, sometimes we do apply politics to things that don't, where politics maybe not count. I think on some level he just agreed with them. And he had nothing to lose, and he let her out. Now, when it came to the FALN, Hillary Clinton was, in 1999, if you recall, was going to be running for senator from New York, and she was going to be opposing Mayor Giuliani. And she was trying to get herself some connection to the New York community. And what they came up with was releasing these FALN terrorists, claiming that they were nonviolent. They were the nonviolent terrorists. That's really important, yeah. Right? So these guys were swell. Mm-hmm. And so they came up with this whole thing to release them, and it was Ruff, was it Charlie Ruff, his first name, in the Clinton administration, and Eric Holder were charged with, well, Ruff came up with the idea, Holder was charged with it. Holder went to the pardon attorney at the time, Margaret Love, who wouldn't recommend it, and so he fired her. He brought in another pardon attorney who wouldn't recommend it either, but gave a sort of a memo that said you could do this, that, or other thing. They called it an options memo. Clinton took that. He has complete power of clemency. That's one thing. That's an absolute power of the president. So Clinton, in August 1999, offered clemency to these terrorists when Hillary was running, and it was a payback. It was to get the New York Hispanic community to back Hillary, and he did this later again, just as an aside, with these swindlers, the Hasid swindlers up in New Square, New York, same kind of thing, where it was a block vote in exchange for clemencies, and James Comey exonerated the Clintons on it. But that's another story. But in any event, so it was purely political.
It continues today as Governor Cuomo and de Blasio bestowed the, Puerto Rican Day Parade Freedom Hero Award to this guy who...
Lopez refused the clemency in 99. He stayed in prison. I went to his parole hearing in Terre Haute, Indiana in 2010, 2011. We kept him in. He was a bad guy, and we faced him and, got that... There was no doubt about it. So he ends up staying in until Obama releases him, and then they try to give him a hero award. He was a terrorist. He was a murderer.
Unbelievable. Okay, hang on. Joe is going to explain why all of this matters to you.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So Maggie lives on a horse ranch out in the Ozarks, and her great joy in life has always been horseback riding. But she's had to cut back more and more. Eventually, she stopped riding altogether because of her back pain. Here she is, living in a place surrounded by happiness and her life dream. And she couldn't partake of it anymore. Nothing she tried could make the pain go away for enough to for her to go out and ride horses, which is all she wanted to do. Well, fortunately, she heard some handsome gentleman on the radio talk about Relief Factor. Within a few weeks, the pain she'd been suffering from began to subside. Within a month, she was back in the saddle doing what she loves best. She got her life back. I got my life back. You'll get yours back as well. It's ReliefFactor.com. Developed by doctors, but not a drug. 70% of the people who try it go on to buy more. Get your life back. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It's ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384.
Today on The Blaze, Glenn takes the whiteness test and I drink with my friends. Check it out, blazetv.com/Glenn.
Can't hear.
Welcome back. 888-727-BECK is the phone number.
The Glenn Beck Program. We're glad you're here. It is Friday. Joe Connor is with us. He's the author of Shattered Lives. I read an article from him. BLM's intentions sound all too familiar on townhall.com. And he's a fascinating guy. He has testified before the Senate Subcommittee on Foreign Relations regarding President Clinton's clemency in 99 to grant 16 terrorists whose FALN murdered his father, Frank Connor. He was testifying in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee in 2009 during Eric Holder's confirmation hearing and introduced the Pardon Attorney Reform and Integrity Act to Congress in 2000. He has seen it all. I can't imagine what his life would have been like, but probably not involved in terrorism if his father hadn't been murdered by these people that the Democrats, Clinton and Obama, seem to love and pardon. And Joe, we were just talking on the air. It's unbelievable. If the Republicans would ever let a grand dragon or wizard or whatever they're called from the Klan, if they ever pardoned one, it would be front page news and it would be everyone, including me, would say how despicable it is that they were just either they believed it or they were pandering to a bunch of white supremacists. Yet the Democrats do this with Marxist terrorists, the underground, the Weather Underground, FALN, now May 19th. They let these people out all the time, and no one says anything about it.
Well, you know what, Glenn, you're right. And back in 99, when they did these releases, that's why I testified in front of the Senate back then, because the people were horrified. And The vote was overwhelming to censure, but condemn Clinton for it. And even the Democrats joined in, with the exception of people like Nadler, who were defending it. But they didn't get to the point, as they did with Trump, where, I mean, you talk about an impeachable offense. I mean, this is what makes my head explode, and I shouldn't use that expression, right? But it makes you crazy when you see what Trump was put against. And there was no talk in 99 about Clinton getting impeached, but clearly what he did was an abuse of power. I mean, Alexander Hamilton wrote in Federalist 74 that no president would use the power of clemency or the pardon, lest he be thought in a bad way, lest he be thought conniving. And as my brother pointed out back then, he's like, well, Hamilton never envisioned Clinton, and clearly he never envisioned Obama and Biden. You know, because this connects, like we were talking about how this connects, and the connection is the people. You know, you have the Susan Rosenberg, yes, and you have Oscar Lopez, who was given clemency by the Clintons and by Obama. But you have this whole amalgam of people who believe in this stuff, and you know, you have Joe Biden now, who has a chance, incredibly, to be president. What's he going to do? You know, we have terrorists. We have 70 fugitive terrorists in Cuba, including William Morales and Joanne Chesimard and Victor Garena. And I've been working my life to get them back. I promised my mom, who's 82, that I would do the best I can to get them returned. And that's what, you know, the book Shattered Lives is about. We have a movie coming out about it. It's a documentary. And, you know, so what we have to do, I think, as a people is really stand up now. I mean, you wrote a book a while ago, and I think 2011, about being George Washington, and I think that's what we tried to be. And in 2012, actually, Mike Duncan, who went to Villanova with me, and I wrote a book called The New Founders, and we brought Washington back to life in America today, and we ran him for president, and we made it kind of fun, but we used the Constitution to demonstrate the way the founders would live today, rather than lecture on it. And It was a good book. It was good. But the idea was that we all now have to be able to stand up. If we don't stand up now as individuals for what's going on, there'll be no tomorrow. So, you know,
these people are so dangerous. I want to bring you back here to Susan Rosenberg.
Yeah.
Susan Rosenberg is a violent terrorist, breaking people out of prison. She is an avowed Marxist. She is a anti-family. I mean, this is what her group May 19th was about. It's the world's first all-women lesbian terrorist organization.
Sounds charming.
It does. And now she has been cleansed by the left. She has offices in Berkeley after she was pardoned. And now she is on the steering committee of Black Lives Matter Global. Yeah. And nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to care.
You're right. No one cares. As a matter of fact, in some ways, I think it helps her. I think the loon left is, that's great. Instead of it being a negative to her, in some ways I think it's a positive. But the point is, we need to understand who these people are. We can't just sit back anymore and not understand it. And the fact is, look, I went to Guantanamo Bay in 2016. I'm also a 9/11 family member. My cousin Steve Schlag was murdered at the World Trade Center. He was my dad's godson, and I was there in the Trade Center that morning. I was in my office when the planes hit.
Jeez.
But I commuted through there, saw the planes hit. And I was in the courtroom with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the other four high-value detainees. And I talked to the prosecution about it. Because at the time, remember, Obama and Biden were closing Gitmo. I mean, that was their plan. And I talked to the prosecutors, who are just tremendous people, about, you know, what happens to these people? Would they ever be brought back to the U.S. and then given clemency? Because the fact is that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed did not fly any of those planes that hit into the World Trade Center. If he did, he'd be dead. So there, I could envision a point where we would be in a situation like Susan Rosenberg or the FALN, where you would have an administration who would say, you know, he served enough time, he wasn't, you know, convicted or whatever. I don't know where that trial is going at this point, but but he's clearly guilty. But you could see an administration coming in and rationalizing that this guy was, you know, he didn't do anything. None of these guys did. They're, you know, and the fact is, if you're a terrorist and you're a member of a conspiracy, you're responsible for all acts of that conspiracy. And that's the law. But what we're finding is that, you know, the law is being manipulated and used. It's being ignored. And it's, you know, and that leads to tyranny. When you choose parts of the laws. Yeah, sorry.
That's all right, Joe. I'm sorry to interrupt. Here's what I find amazing. I used to think that a lot of this stuff is just political. But there comes a time where you see what's happening in our streets. You see that these are Marxist revolutionaries that want to destroy the nuclear family and the Western way of life. They want to destroy capitalism. They want to destroy the U.S. Constitution and completely reset everything.
Yeah.
You cannot convince me now that you are, if you're still supporting these people, that you are not part of it. If you excuse them years ago and you thought, well, you know, they really didn't do anything, but they are now coming back into the fold and they are trying to destroy our country. If you don't stand up now, you are part of that conspiracy. Yeah.
Well, you think of what Edmund Burke, right? He said, you know, all that needs to happen for evil to succeed is for good men to remain silent. And we've been silenced in a lot of ways. I mean, no one wants to be called a racist. I mean, there was a time when, you know, you didn't call someone a racist. Like, it was the worst thing you could call someone. Now they just fling it out there like no one's business. And, you know, maybe it'll get so diluted that no one cares anymore. But, you know, I don't want to be called racist because I'm not. But besides that, you need to, you know, people need to just do what they can. Like, look, one of the things I like to tell people is just be prepared. Be prepared in every way, mentally, physically. If something was to happen, think about what you're going to do. And, you know, when my father, when the clemency happened, I was the same age as my dad was when he was murdered. I was 33. And I was somewhat prepared to fight back. So keep involved, keep thoughtful, read, and be able to articulate what you feel, because and what's right, and that's the other thing. It's all about what's right and what's wrong, and what the left has done in this country is. And my son Frank, my son is named after my father. He's 23. He's a recent graduate from Villanova, but he wrote a book it's a satire about a conservative on a college campus. It's called The Progressive Reports, and you know, he brings up a lot of those points that, you know, we've gotten to a point where it's how you feel, which is what the left is running with, rather than right or wrong. When there's no like real point of what is right and what is wrong, and anything just you feel is okay to do, you know, you've lost it. And you know, that goes for the law and everything. We're drifting.
No, we're. Yeah, no, we are running towards it now.
Yeah, we are.
Let me just ask you, I just want to ask you one more question, and then we've got to run. But who do you think you would have been had your dad not died?
God, you know, I think about that. You know, I think I wouldn't have been as good, I don't know if good's the right word, but I wouldn't have been as prepared as I am now. Like, I've viewed my life in two segments. One is before I was 9 years old and after I was 9 years old. And I think my father's murder has awakened a part of me and made me really concentrate on things and family. I'm a father. I have two kids, a wife, you know, and I think I'm better for that. And, you know, I feel like my father's with me a lot. You know, on 9/11, when I got out of the city, he was with me. And, you know, I think what they say, doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think it's made me a better person. But my God, Glenn, like, what I wouldn't give just to be able to sit down and have a beer with him, or introduce him to my wife or to his grandkids. You know what I mean? Like, we missed out on all that, and that's something that the people who've advocated for these terrorists, they don't care. And they don't care about the police officers who are being murdered in the streets and their families. They just don't care. I mean, I get attacked. I get attacked saying that I'm making money off my father's murder. Like, Ralph Kramden made more money than I've made off my, you know? So it's insane. But these are the attacks. And there's really, they don't really care about the individual. They never do. It's about the group and how the politics can help their group move along. And, you know, as I said, Brian Burroughs, in Brian Burroughs' book, Days of Rage, you know, my father was murdered by terrorists, but it was the wrong brand of terrorists. And he was the wrong brand of person to get any empathy. He was a white male. And, you know, it really hurts. And it still does. I'm sure you could hear my voice. I'm 54 years old. But you don't get over these things. And, you know, you live with them and you do your best. And that's why I wrote with Jeff Ingber, Shattered Lives. I actually started it on September 10th, yep. 2001 on the train. And I try to miss my cousin Steve because he would have been on the train. He always had beers. And I was like, I can't have beers. I want to start writing this book. It was exactly 2 years after the clemencies were, the terrorists walked out of jail. And I missed Steve that night, and the next day he was murdered at Cantor Fitzgerald as I watched the planes hit. So, you know, it has just been, some of these stories I can't even believe.
You have been prepared for these times, Joe, and I hope we get to know each other even more. I'm just impressed with your story and who you've become. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn, and thank you for all you've done. Look, we're all George Washington, and I'm glad you wrote that and all the things you've done to help people. We all just got to do it, you know. If I can,
Joe Connor, anyone can. WeWinAmerica.com is where you can find him and follow him. And the name of the book we've been talking about is Shattered Lives. But what happens in history affects us today. All right, our sponsor is Simply Safe. There is nothing more important than keeping your family safe. And it is going to become harder and harder, especially if we allow this kind of mob rule to take hold. And if we are looking at a situation where our government goes Marxist, I don't know if you're going to be able to keep people out of your house. You need Simply Safe for these simpler days. Simply Safe is about 50 cents a day, considerably less than a cup of coffee that you get on your way to work every day. And with Simply Safe, you have the round-of-the-clock monitoring for 50 cents a day that'll give you the peace of mind that your family deserves. There's no contracts. You own the system. And in fact, if you go now to the website at simplysafebeck.com, you'll get a free HD security camera. That's simplysafebeck.com. Make sure you tell them who sent you. You'll get the cameras and the sensors. You'll get everything. And if you want the 24/7 monitoring and video verification, it's 50 cents a day. SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, I'm coming back in 2 weeks. This is the Glenn Beck Program from the Standing Rock Ranch in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Which I love. Thank you for putting up with all of our technical difficulties. It is really difficult to do a show from the middle of a national forest in the mountains, but we appreciate it. Tonight on blazetv.com, the Glenn Beck exclusive, which is just a kind of a hangout chat between the two of us, and we don't have any commercials or anything else. Today it's going to be a really good one. You don't want to miss. I'm going to take the course, if you will, the test on my whiteness that if I worked for Seattle City, I would have to take and go through this course. It's a test I think I'm going to flunk, but you probably would too. That's coming up only on blazetv.com/Glenn today. Use Fight the Mob and join us and save $20.